Blog Talk Radio.
Let's see. She said okay whenever. I guess whenever you say. She's home right now, but we'll be leaving at about 5. So.
She probably is not. She probably doesn't have her phone in front of her. You want to call her?
Yeah. You can go ahead and reach out. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Apparently, I put up the wrong link. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and start you back out with last week's Jummah and see if I can correct and get this one in. My apologies. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. That is, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. And after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsan al-taqweem. All praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. Wa ba'atha nabiyina mubashirin wa munzirin. And commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, His is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd, to Him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in His hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and He has power over all things. Wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is His slave servant and His messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad. Wa ala alihi, and upon his family. Wa sahbihi, and upon his companions ajma'in. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Ya bani adama qad anzalna alaykum libasan yuwari sawa'atikum wa rishan wal libasu taqwa. ذلك خير ذلك من آيات الله لعلهم يتذكرون صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. The Yusuf Ali expression of this, the 26th ayah of the 7th surah, Surah Al-A'raf, says, O children of Adam, we have bestowed the raiment upon you to cover your shame, as well as to be an adornment to you. But the raiment of righteousness, that is the best. Such are among the signs of Allah, that they may receive admonition. There's a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in part that I want to introduce at this point. Then we're going to go back to the verse, inshallah. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا قلن أحدكم خبثت نفسي ولكن ليقول لكست نفسي صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And an expression of this is, none of you should say, my soul has become evil. But he should say, my soul has become remorseless. That's a translation. A lot of time we're going to spend, inshallah, on the matter of translation in this subject. So we need to take a look at the term shame in detail for a better expression of the meaning. Excuse me. For a better expression of the meaning of the Quranic Arabic term here, right? So let's see. The word that has been quote unquote translated by Yusuf Ali as your shame, translated as your shame, it is sawa'atikum, sawa'atikum. This is seen while Hamza, ta, kaf, meem, and that's attached pronoun, the kum. So it's talking about sawat, talking about that they have translated as shame. So the word is sawatikum. It's closer to, in its meaning, that which inclines you to wrongdoing and disobedience. That which inclines you to wrongdoing and disobedience. A couple of verses to frame that understanding is from 53, ayah 53 from Surah Yusuf, that is chapter 12. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. وَمَا أُبَارِيُ النَّفْسِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَعَمَارَةُ بِسُوءٍ إِلَى مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ صدق الله العظيم. And an expression of this is, nor do I absolve myself of blame, because, and I'm using Yusuf Ali's translation to start this, the human soul is certainly prone to evil unless my Lord do bestow his mercy. But surely, certainly, my Lord is all forgiving, most merciful. Another verse that has bearing on our need to better understand what Allah said and that was translated as shame in 26 of Surah Al-A'raf. And it is the 50th, I believe, at that Surah Al-Qaf, the 50th Surah and the 16th Ayah. A'udhu Billah, it says, وَلَّقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلٍ وَرِيدٍ صدق الله العظيم. And again, a Yusuf Ali translation of this is, it is we who created man, and we know what dark suggestions his soul makes to him, for we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. There is a whole world in every one of these ayahs that we've read, but I only read those two so that we can have in our mind, and I believe that that's what we actually do need to understand, because what's actually being I can say juxtaposed in this is what the world has told us about Adam and the quote unquote the false label of original sin, and by one man's sin, death entered into the world, and the human being sinful by nature, because we spoke last week that everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized, and we've been socialized in a Trinitarian world, by and large, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And the whole idea, and Jesus took on the flesh so he can come and die for the sins of the world. And that's the milieu of our psychology in this environment. That's the dominant frame. That's the dominant narrative in the West and really in the world by I'll have to use the phrase by virtue, even though much of it is vice, by virtue of the spread of Western European Trinitarian Christianity in the world. And so that means that that brush has stroked over a large part of the population of the world, and certainly us here, that literally is what, I mean, we live in communities where there's, you know, four churches on four corners in many other parts of our cities. All right. So it's important to understand. Now let's bring in the idea of when we say Al-Fatiha, we say Al-Fatiha, one part of the phrasing at the very end says, "Waladdallin," translated usually as those who go astray, right? And understood, generally, first order, is that one of the groups that's mentioned is Bani Israel, those among Bani Israel who are wrongdoers, and so the wrath of Allah has come down on them. But then also it's understood that the Dalin is, quote-unquote, the Trinitarian Christians, those who say God, the Most High, Allah, the Most High, has begotten a son, and that he, that son was crucified for his love of the world. Y'all know that story, so I don't have to go through all that. So, all right, the Dalin is, okay, you have, now we're talking about the minds that debated for three centuries about the nature of Jesus, the nature of God, the nature of human beings, and they came to the conclusion that the, that this Western Trinitarian Christianity gives us today, and that is, man is sinful by nature. Adam committed the sin. He ate the apple, and again, we already know. Okay, so what we said, in order to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, and in order to get the richer, because it's not a quote-unquote a complete lie, you understand what I'm saying? It's not a complete lie per se. It's just off the mark. At another time, we've done it before, but at another time, we'll go back to it because the Quran, remember.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. All unqualified praise is due to Allah. And after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين.
Praise be to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ. This day have I perfected for you your way of life, and have completed my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa Allah send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'een, all of them. Wa ya yuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. وَمَا أُبَارِيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ اللَّعْمَارَةُ بِسُوءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Most High, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. In the hadith of Muhammad, a report from the Prophet says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That is the Prophet, peace be upon him. He says, none of you, not a single one of you, is a believer until his passions, his urges, his impulses, هواه, his impulses, follow what I have brought. And we say Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Prophet, peace be upon him, has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, part 19, Taqwa and the Game of Life. Alhamdulillah, we are focused on Taqwa in all of these most recent few series, because Taqwa obviously is a universal quality. When you look at the Quran, the very first section of the Quran itself, it starts with Hudan lil Mutaqeen, Hudan lil Mutaqeen, that the Quran is a guidance for the Mutaqi, is a guidance for those who have taqwa, those who practice taqwa. So it's about knowing what taqwa actually is in order to get the benefit of the guidance of the Quran, and the guidance not only in the Quran, but around in the entire cosmos, for that matter. Allah says, وَتَقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. What's going on? It's not on? What's happening?
Turn it on.
I did. I got a green light. Okay. So in terms of وَتَقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Be regardful, be conscious, be aware, pay attention to what Allah has ordered and structured, because Allah is always teaching you. So not only do we learn from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, but we also learn from what Allah has created in the creation. The first revelation to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your guardian evolver. Well, the book wasn't complete. There was no book there with the Prophet, and he was not among those who could read or write at that time. So the invitation to read was to what? Read the nature of creation. Read your own nature. And this is what the revelation itself went on through the life model and example of Prophet Muhammad to teach us how to do. I want to give, to begin this part of the lesson on taqwa, last week we introduced the ideas in Nafs al-A'marat and Nafs al-Lawama, just mentioning them. And even now, I'm not trying to teach the whole thing because it's an entire lifetime study. But you do have to have a fundamental grasp of it. When I say a fundamental grasp of it, means, okay, in principle, what is nafs al-amara? In principle, what is nafs al-lawwama? In principle, what is nafs al-mutma'inna? And if you understand those as being the beginning and the end of our growth of self, the growth, we translate as the translations, so we say self. Nafs, it means person. It has other meanings, but essentially those two, the self. Well, in the early lessons of Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, when he was showing us a way to get out of the shirk that we were in, when we believed the way that we believed in the lost foundation of Islam in the wilderness of North America, he gave us language that began to take us out of that anthropomorphic idea and that materialistic idea of life, reality, God, etc. And by giving us a way of understanding matters that are crucial to the new journey, right? So he explained to us he had three selves as well. The self of divine aspirations, the self of biological passions, and the self of mental aspirations, right? And the message was, we have to use the self of divine aspirations to discipline the self of biological passions in order to arrive at the self of mental aspirations. I used, this is the way I do. I can see the arithmetic in it, is that you use three to control one, and then you get two. So the math of it is three minus one is two, but the minus is not to take it away. The minus is a symbol, in my saying it, is a symbol of discipline. Use the self of divine aspiration, meaning what? That self that is trying to arrive at the destiny that Allah intends. Listen, the Quran has told us this, and I'll repeat it, where it says, وَنَفْسًا وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. So that soul that has been enlightened as to what would benefit and what would harm it, blessed is he that caused it to grow. What is that? That is divine aspiration. The divine aspiration of every soul is to get to the destiny that Allah intends for. The divine aspiration of every soul is to realize its potential, to fulfill the will of God that is present in it. And so, such as it is with that nafs, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, who knows what benefits it and what would harm it. So this divine aspiration, it has to be used to control the self of biological passion. Biological passion fits very close to the nafs al-la'amarat, which we began, and I don't know if I mentioned it, is the 53rd verse of Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, when he says, and I don't hold myself, my nafs, I don't hold myself to be blameless, because surely the nafs al-amarat, that is in every one of us in our origins and in our beginning stages, we are inclined bisuwan. We are inclined to evil, wrong. That's at that initial stage, and we'll say more about that as we go on. He said, "Illa ma rahima Rabbi." The only ones who are saved from it are those who receive the mercy from their Lord. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained to Aisha radiallahu anha that all of us have a jinn, and she said, "You too?" "Yes, but Allah has helped me to overcome mine, and such that I'm free from his mischief, and he only commands me to do good." But we all haven't achieved that particular aim, goal, and that's one of the goals that we are striving for, to be in a state where our jinn is under our management. Our urges and our impulses are under our management. They are not driving us. We are controlling them. So this divine aspiration has to control the biological passion. One way of representing it is nafs al-amara, because it is that self that wants to be in charge. It's that self that wants to be on top. You can keep it in that jinn framework when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke. The jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke. Well, what is the fire that's free from smoke? Urges, impulses, appetites. You don't get any smoke from that, not in any literal sense, but you definitely get heat. And that's what we call it. We tell us, oh man, he in heat, she in heat, etc. That is that jinn, impulse, urge, appetite. And once that heat gets started, it's nothing else matters. Nothing else. It wants to bogart. It wants to be in charge. It wants to take control. It wants to move everywhere. And that's why it's like fire. Those urges and those impulses that are undomesticated, undisciplined, they are like fire because they burn up everything, right? They burn up your check. They burn up your marriage. They burn up your business. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, sure. Okay. See? So it's like you have to bring them into control. Now, let's understand. I always want us to keep that balance. We have to. It's not I want. If you lose it, you lose. I want you to understand. Suleiman, you've heard this, but I'll remind you. Suleiman alayhi salatu wasalam. First stop, easy stop, big glaring sign. He had in his council an ifrit of the jinn. Ifrit of the, it means that he was a big, strong jinn. This wasn't no corner store jinn. It was a big jinn, right? And he would take consultation with him and then read the other places in the verses of the Quran regarding Suleiman and his building. And you will find that he used the shayateen. It doesn't even say jinn in the one that I'm referencing right now. Shayateen. So he had power over the Satans. Okay? But Solomon, we get this hint. It says Solomon is what? The soul of man. The soul of man. All right? But he had that mastery to be able to control and master his urges. And when you look at all the things that Allah says that he taught David, that he taught Solomon, and you read about the wind, and you read about the birds, and you read about, it's showing you that he had power over not only forces in nature, but the forces in himself. That's where the force has to come first. Last thing I'll say about, well, I think it's the last thing I'll say about Solomon right now, just to make the point that we have these urges, these impulses, and these appetites, and they are strong, and they are powerful, and they are for our benefit. They are for our benefit, but you can't get the benefit from them until you domesticate them. Just think about wild horses, wild dogs, all the other wild animals that we had to domesticate. And then once we domesticated those animals, then we got the world that we have by and large right now, because of the fact that we put those wild things to our service to build civilization. All right, that's external, but you have to do that internally, right? Our urges and our appetites, our aspirations, our impulses, our instincts, they're not bad. They're only bad when they're out of control. Back to fire, right? It's like fire, if you're not in control of the fire, that is a problem. You know, but you got, you know, the fireplace, barbecue pit, whatever. You know, so okay, oven, good. You want that fire, right? So the idea is learning how to manage those urges, those appetites, those impulses. How do you do it? Divine aspiration, the self of divine aspiration. That is, when you understand that it is a part of your design. And the jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke. This is in the context of Adam's creation, right? Then Iblis was a jinn, right? Then Adam, after Iblis rebelled against Allah's order to bow to Adam, now he becomes the enemy of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, and until Adam was empowered to overcome the influences, the tricks, the deceptions of shaitan, then he suffers the fall. He suffered the fall in consequence of that. But then he met a word from his Lord, and by following that word, Allah accepted him. But then where it says, we're in the story, so it says, get ye down from here all together. On earth will be your dwelling place for a time, right? So that battle, quote unquote, that opposition, that challenge, that started where we read in the Quran where Adam and his wife slipped, fell, etc., and we were placed on the earth. That is the lifetime battle that we are still fighting, quote unquote, right now. That we're still fighting right now. And so the movement, so the way by which, how do you win that battle? This is what we're talking about, taqwa and the game of life. How do you win that battle? Number one, understand that it is what you don't know about yourself that shaitan uses against you. It's what you don't know about yourself that shaitan uses against you. And it's through that knowledge that he dominates. Let's finish that little formula that was given to us about 40 years ago, where it says the self of divine aspiration must control the self of biological passions in order to achieve the self of mental aspirations. I used from the beginning the idea of college students. I mean, many of us have children who went to college, and when they got to college, it was like a shock for them. Some of them had ever been in was the Muslim environment, the Claire Muhammad School, elementary, high school, etc. And then when they got out there into the college environment, those who had been matriculating, quote unquote, as normal in the quote unquote public at large, then ours met them in the dorm on the college campus. And the rest is history in many of the cases. We have many, many great success stories, but also we have many examples of what I'm saying, because ours, in many instances, they were like babes in the woods. They didn't know what kind of stuff the others were learning, quote unquote, when they were growing up in their system and they came over there. The only point that I really want to focus in on is the idea that the values, the challenge of disciplining yourself. Go to class, do your work, write the paper, don't party, don't drink, don't blah, blah, blah. So if they don't have the self of divine aspiration to control their self of biological passions, they're never going to realize the self of mental aspirations. You're not going to learn. You're not going to grow. Why? Because the self of divine aspiration is not controlling the self of biological passions. Right? Okay. So that's just one of the ways that Imam Muhammad, rahim al-Alay, he sought to get us to understand the growth of self, the growth of self. This is before he really, you know, started giving us the ideas that are literally in the Quran, nafs al-amara, nafs al-lawwama, nafs al-mutma'inna. We were brand new from, you know, Farad's mythology, Yaqub's myth, and, you know, we still looking to the left about Caucasians, maybe they might be the devil. I'm not sure yet. Let me see. Get my sound here. Alhamdulillah, Allah is most gracious, most merciful. It's a wonderful thing to be here after all that. Okay, so let's just walk a little bit literally on the others then. Nafs al-amara is the self that wants to be in charge. And that is our urges and our impulses. They all want to be in charge. Do you understand that you and I are a community, a world inside of our one body, right? Have you ever thought about the fact that we say assalamu alaikum? Assalamu alaikum. I don't say assalamu alaikum. I say assalamu alaikum. I speak to you as though you were a plural. Wa alaikum assalam. And you respond to me as though I am a plurality. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the believers are like one body. The believers are like one body. Right? So that means that there's many citizens in each one of our bodies. In psychology and in academic secular terms, they're called subpersonalities. They're called subpersonalities. They actually operate as though they were they have a will of their own. But we'll say more about that perhaps in a moment. Nafs al-amara is the stage where, let's just keep it at the baby level, right? If you have any children, especially pre-kindergarten, nursery school age children, grandchildren, what have you, all you got to do is just see how they interact with each other. See if it is not the case that each one of them wants to dominate everything. Each one of them, if they're not competing for, I want that toy. No, that's my toy. You can play with it. No, they got one in their hand. They see another over there. Somebody else going over there. They say, no, you can't have that one either. So now they got both of them, so nobody else can have anyone. That's your nafs al-amara at that very low stage, right? But in reality, I'm going to say in reality, that is formally speaking, this nafs al-amara is that stage that we recognize when we reach puberty. When we reach puberty, that's when the battle really starts. That's what, because all the time before that, we are free from moral blame. You're free from moral blame. Everybody's born on fitr. Anyone who dies before puberty, they go to Jannah. The Jannah is guaranteed for them if they die before puberty. But after puberty, there's a book for them. There's a record for them. We're called mukallif. Mukallif at that stage means that where before there was no book being kept for you because you were morally not culpable, right? You were quote-unquote guileless. But when you reach puberty, then the book is opened on you and you obey or you disobey. It's either a merit or a demerit based on what your behavior, mukallaf. You become responsible. This is why in al-Islam, when you reach that age, you are obligated to pray, you're obligated to fast, you're obligated to do the five pillars of al-Islam. And in fact, just FYI, just because a child is born in your home, they are not automatically Muslim in the formal sense until they themselves declare, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. They have to declare, they have to submit, they have to decide, I want to obey what Allah has ordered. But in any case, so now the nafs al-amara, these urges, these impulses are very much alive, very, very strong. And a part of the sad and wicked thing about this society is that this society aims its manipulation directly at those urges and those impulses in that group. The music is aimed at the urges and impulses in that group. And the value system is being sold to them that is against the parents. I hope you can understand. I'm not trying to bring out any banners or placards or, you know, or whatever, or even create a battle between parents and children and young people that's not already going on. My goal is for us to, inshallah, understand the very serious work that's already being done and has been done on our young people. And in so many instances, we're really practically in a situation where all we can do is raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, to help them, to understand them, so show us how to protect them, because they are the target. I collect little things in my notes I'm not going to right now, but collect little things. There's so many things that are anti-parent in the culture at large. I'm talking about television commercials, Disney songs, all those kind of things. You know, programs. You know, some of us didn't know. I didn't know until, of course, I grew up and became a Muslim and was able to look back. You know, some of y'all remember Mad Magazine. You know, What Me Worry, you know, that dude with the snaggle too, I can't think of it. But you probably got an image in your mind right now. What Me, that was already twisting the moral fabric of our age group at that time. And then they hit the next generation with, like, Bart. When they hit you, don't have a cow, man. When they hit you with Bart, boom, his father, you know, what is his father? It's like, idiot, mother, idiot, right? And so many others, you know. And they had the Eddie Haskell character in the Leave It to Beaver. I'm just trying to point back to how this stuff has been working to sever the relationship between parent and child, because that's the critical salvation at this point that I'm talking about. I'm only mentioning Nafs al-Amarat, and I'm showing you how Shaitan knows that. If you move off of Nafsala Amarat and get to Nafsala Werma, then you weaken his ability to control you, and thereby the generation that they're trying to govern, because we want to deprive the parents of the ability to nurture them, and we want to become their nurturers. Huh? We want to raise these children to be the way that we are. Now, there's some revolution. I have to look it up. In one of the doctrines, he points out that the strongest, the most fearsome revolutionary is a teenager with no morals. You want somebody that will fight without limits, without standards, without, you know, inhibitions, raise a teenager without morals, right? So this movement against parents is against parents and against the soul of the young people who are being victimized by it is grabbing them right in the nafsullah amarat and feeding it, that song Frozen. I want to encourage you to do it. Look at what I'm saying. I'm not going to go through it. I didn't print it up to do it. But you can look it up. That song Frozen, right? Disney, the girl that freezes everything. Whatever. I don't know what her name is. Just get the lyrics. Just go Google lyrics Frozen. And when you read those lyrics, when you set aside that music, which that the music is the hypnosis, right, where you don't cognitively, you don't consciously pay attention to what they're being said. It's like that other girl, Toni Braxton. If I never feel your hand again, if I never see your face again, we never talk again, I'll never breathe again. You lying? It's like, that's a lie. But since it's set to music, nobody checks you on it. Well, when you read this, it's saying the song is Let It Go. And when you understand, what were you being asked to let go? Let go of your parents. Let go of your traditions. Let go of your past. Let go of your values. Let go of your discipline. Let go of your caring how anybody else feels about what you say. And the punchline in the song, it is, I was never afraid of a cold anyway. I mean, I know I'm going to be treated cold. They already treat me cold. So I know they're going to treat me cold. So, okay, treat me cold. That's where I'm going to be. And it says, the perfect girl is gone. It's like we killed off the perfect girl. Right? And so much more to be said. So much more to be said today. But let's conclude this portion of it. So this Nafs al-Amarah is the first stage when you arrive at puberty, when you arrive at puberty, and that's when the battle starts. Now, Shaitan in this world, through the music, through the movies, through the commercials, through the stories that they tell, they are all aimed at breaking the natural conscience. That's the enemy. The enemy is وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. It is the soul's natural morality, natural conscience, that is the enemy for this society. Because if you think in terms of your natural morality, we can't sell you what we want to sell you. And I don't know, is there a reason I should be afraid of talking about homosexuality around y'all? Okay. Because they got the whole world just pushed back solid on, you know what I'm saying? And at least the places that you expect it least, and that's the way they do. It's like a haunted house. Yeah, it's like a haunted house. You ever been to one of, like carnival. You go to a carnival and then you go on the ride and that ride take you through the haunted house. And then the thing jump out at you. Yeah. So you're sitting there, you're looking at the movie, okay, it's cool, this person, you know, she's in charge, you know, she's authority, she's police lieutenant and in charge of the guy who's a macho guy who he's seen to be as the character, as the main character, but she's his boss in the way they constructed it. And then when they said, okay, I'm about to go to dinner for my anniversary, blah, blah, blah. And then when you get there for the anniversary, she's meeting her wife. You know? Same way with that movie, The Eternals, where you have The Eternals, where you got all these superheroes, these otherworldly superheroes in here. Why the black man got to be the gay guy? He got a husband. But he got all the brains. He's the one whose brains is going to get everything straight. And this is a little bit extemporaneous right now. I'm not remembering whether he had a Muslim name or not, but I have a feeling he had a Muslim name. I'm pretty sure. And I'm telling you, African-American Muslims, Bilalian Muslims, you are the main problem. Why are you the main problem? You're the main problem because you're not in those other ancient bags that many other Muslim nations have been put into. You know, some of the easiest people to hypnotize are intellectuals. Some of the hardest people to hypnotize are people who don't know much. It's the truth. I know it's funny, but it's the truth. So all praise is due to Allah. We're too dumb to be hypnotized by so much of that stuff, man. And we're rebellious. It's in our nature to rebel against Allah. I don't care what the hell you're saying. What are you talking? You're giving the pure Princeton, you know, Yale, Oxford wisdom, and the black man, oh, that's the devil's knowledge, man. That's what I did. That's what I did. Like, hey, we didn't care. I was at UC Berkeley. I got to get finished. We were at UC Berkeley, man. Right in there. And then when I ran up on one of them F.O.I. and said, all that UC Berkeley stuff became the white man's knowledge. The devil's knowledge, right? I have no regrets, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But the point that I want to make, I do need to make this point here on the nafs al-amara. That's just the memory lane thing is just really something. But nafs al-amara, I talked about nafs al-amara, and I talked about the parents, and I talked about targeting that group, right? And I mentioned about the homosexuality as a prime strategy. Let me see if I can very quickly state this. Listen, there's a movement for natural sexuality. There's a movement for natural sexuality. The language that they use in the world is called libido. That's the language that's used in the world, libido, right? In Al-Islam, the way they understand it, saying what it means, for us it means fitr. It means fitr. So fitr is what energizes every other thing that we do. Fitr is our potential as human beings. So whatever I become, I don't care, athlete, celebrity, teacher, mother, father, whatever, it is an evolution of my fitr. It's an expression of my fitr. It's also an expression of my libido. The libido expresses itself at different levels. But see, this world makes us only think about it in terms of sexuality. Yes, it does start there. It starts there. And so, very quickly, I'll say the four, even though if I don't get through them, it'll be out. So it's like, first there's the autoerotic stage, there's the heterosexual stage, there's the commitment stage, and there's the parenting stage. I'm talking about for libido and for fitr. Autoerotic stage, the heterosexual stage, this normal sexuality, the male gets to a point after getting past, let me get it out of the way, getting past the masturbatory stage. When you get past the masturbatory stage, then there's a realization, if maturity occurs, that, oh, that's not for that, that's for the opposite gender. And then when they get that, now they come to a heterosexual recognition, right? And then they say, yeah, I love women. No, you can't love all women in the way you're talking about. You have to make a commitment. You have to choose one, quote unquote, and then do what's required to move on to the next phase, which is parenting. Listen to what I'm saying. They have set up a major roadblock vis-a-vis the media, the culture, the politics, et cetera, a major roadblock for the movement from one to two. We don't want you to go to heterosexuality. So we feed that group identity confusing information, models, examples. We'll take a whole family. Allah Alam, you know, y'all have to pillow with me later, you know, but that whole Will Smith family, man, them cats. They ain't using the whole family to mess up a whole lot of people in the world. I don't know. Maybe that's why the Venus and Serena movie didn't do so well. I don't know. That's something else. So one of the keys for that roadblock is
to be negative towards parents. How many young people today see the parents as the enemy? I'm talking about in a new way. It's all your fault. Right? So we have to recognize that, and we'll say more, inshallah. رَبَّنَا عَتِيَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد الحمد لله رب العالمين الله أكبر بسم الله So this نفس الأمارة is the self that wants to be in charge, right? So if you can understand this, then the culture setting that we're in, the culture environment that we're in, is designed to exacerbate, overstimulate that attitude, that mindset, to give it more freedom, give it more power, to give it, quote unquote, to grant it rights, if you will, to empower nafsul amarat, okay? And to undermine the parental relationship. Now, when Allah says in the Quran in verse 1 of Surah 4, it says, وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Have taqwa for Allah and for the relationships. For the relationship, and respect the wounds that bore you. That's also one of the translations. All right. That's, I got to use the language that's used, is one of the vectors of attack. Shaitan, right? One of the vectors of attack. Let's attack the parental relationship. Okay? Why do we have to attack the parental relationship? We attack the parental relationship because it's a source of cultivation. And if they get cultivated, they are harder to control and to manage. So if we cut them off from their parental relationship, then they have no foundation to grow upon or through. Where are they getting their advice now? Who is it that they're trusting now? See, we create celebrities to become idols for them and to become their counselors and to become their examples. The ugly thing, this Billie Eilish. I'm telling you, I mean, there's a lot of parents here. Excuse me. Billie Eilish, that's a cute little ugly story, if you look at it. Just real quick. I'm done in deep dive. It don't take much. Mashallah, somebody can just right there on the surface. Say, this is a little young girl, idol to the young ones, which, again, this Frozen character is for the little girls, that next generation of women. This is where we want you to be. So here is Billie Eilish or whatever, and she's still a teenager, I believe very young teenager, and kind of picked up like the Justin Bieber type character, how she came through, and she said, "Yeah, I think that pornography really messed me up when I was 11 years old." What the hell? Why you need to even publish that? I mean, why do you need to publish that she said, "I think the pornography really messed me up when I was 11 years old"? Now, what do you think, young kids, everybody with their face to a screen somewhere, you don't think they're going to look up and say, "Well, I wonder what she means. I wonder what happens when you do that." And so there they go, right? Into the tar pit. Right? And so in terms of the parental relationship, Allah said, وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. So it's telling those who are conscious and awake, those relationships, they need to be guarded. They need to be guarded. And Shaitan, of course, wants to eliminate them. And the Quran talks about, it says, and the mystic tie between
parent and child, the mystic tie between parent and child. And so the object of the shaitan is to break the tie between the parent and child, right? And when he breaks the tie between parent and child, well then, the child is set loose without any moorings. What is he going to do? What are they going to do? They're going to follow the crowd. And the crowd is being led by the Pied Piper to where, to Hamland, I guess that's what you call it. So that's all, like Pinocchio, to Pleasure Island, and they all get turned into donkeys, right? So that's an awareness. And I'll go ahead and conclude this with this, where the Quran gives us these things. I'm kind of just giving pieces, stepping stones. But look at Surah 114, Surah An-Nas. قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس. Those are also three stages, three phases. See, if the child is going to be cultivated right, the dua in the Quran says, قل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. O Allah, have mercy on them even as they nurtured, the two of them, nurture Rabbayani, two of them nurtured me when I was little. Right? So that's what we look for. So Rabbin Naz relates to a strong foundation and relationship of the child with the parents. And when the child has a strong foundation with a strong tie, Taqullah wal arham, a strong tie with the parent, that gives a strong foundation for that child. And that will cause that child, with that good relationship with the parent, when they go out into the world, they will respect authority. They will respect authority. That's malikinnas. Malikinnas, that's kingship, that's authority, etc. Malikinnas. And then if they have a healthy relationship with the parent, and in turn, that nurtured relationship leads to a healthy respect for authority in society. I'm not detailing it. It doesn't mean that whatever the police, they do it and all that. Sometimes it's not really a bad idea with the hair-triggered mindset they got nowadays. But I want to be very, very clear. I'm not saying just be purely obedient, be wise. But so the idea is that Malik al-Nas and then Ilah al-Nas. Okay? If you have the right relationship with your parents, they have the right relationship with Allah, taqullah wal arham. They have a right relationship with Allah, you have a right relationship with them, and then you go out into the world and you have a right relationship with authority, then that puts you in a situation where that nafs, that soul, goes to a point where you have the right relationship with Allah, ilah al-Nas. Most of the bad relationship with bad relationship in the society and bad relationship with quote-unquote religion has to do with the broken ties at the very beginning between the parent and the child. And so this is why, you know, Muslims, we underestimate how important it is to marry and to marry well, to parent and to parent well, because when we don't do that, all we're doing is just creating easy targets for the enemy. We create easy targets. They're easy to be manipulated, easy to be influenced, easy to be led astray. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly for his help, his aid, and his assistance. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفه عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني ونعبدك ونعليك وعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما سنعت أبو لك بنعماتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. Oh Allah, we are in the dark without your light. Oh Allah, we are helpless without your aid. Oh Allah, we are hopeless without your promise. Oh Allah, we beg your aid and assistance in all things. Oh Allah, show us the way that we should turn. Show us how to stand and stand strong. Show us how to oppose those who oppose your way and your will. Oh Allah, enlighten us, brighten our hearts, purify our spirits, guide us in our will, purify us in our intention. Oh Allah, make us strong. Bless us to be overcome in our, to overcome our weaknesses, and bless us not to succumb to our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Oh Allah, bless us not to be overwhelmed with self-blame. Bless us not to be overwhelmed with self-doubt. Bless us to realize our faith in you by acting on what we say we believe from you. Oh Allah, we beg you that you would bless us to be real in our practice of Al-Islam. Help us in all of our shortcomings. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma Ameen.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
Bring it down now. You know that we got a job to do. I'm talking to you and you and you. Every man, a woman, boy and girl. We got the job to remake the world. So get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
So get up,
you mighty,
come on and get up.
Your role.
So get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
So get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
To remake the world, we got to start with this land. Our country is sinking in the sand. The president is just one man. He can't solve everything, but united we can. Oh, you people can lend a hand. An example of our great demand. Come on, be a great woman, be a strong man. Show the American how to be American. And get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
Oh, get up,
you mighty people,
get up,
play your role.
Oh, get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
Oh, get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
Because we should get the children involved, and then they will not grow to be tough, grow to be hood. If you want to do some good,
get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
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 Yeah, now the most important part must be dealt to ten. To your countries, help to add to your communities, well, to give your children some help. I got, you got, he got, she got, we got to listen to what I tell you, to put the world in the right state of health. Remake the world by remaking yourself, and get up,
you mighty people, and play your role.
Get up,
you mighty,
come on, and get up,
come on, and
get up,
you mighty people, and play your role.
Get up,
you mighty people, and play your role.
Da 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 da.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us this morning for Universal Dimensions of Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we did just air yesterday's live recording of Jumu'ah from Masjid al-War theme, alhamdulillah, which is 19 of the topic, Taqwa and the Game of Life. Alhamdulillah,
As we continue this morning, we welcome and invite your comments on what you've heard before we proceed with what we would like to share this morning. Those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio, of course, you know what to do. Push one on your phone. And I can see comments on those that are coming in from Facebook and YouTube. If you have a comment, you want to type in questions, et cetera, go ahead and do that. And so we'll take that opportunity. Right now, let's see what Ismail has got to say. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just happened to see that movie, Eternals, a couple of days ago, and that part did hit me because the husband called him Habibi, and I'm like, wait a minute. So I look up the husband. I look up the husband. He's the first. They're the first openly gay couple in Marvel movies. And he was talking about the incident, saying that when they had the kiss on set, it was so moving the whole set was crying. So that they're pushing that whole agenda like it was something just so beautiful. He said he wanted to show the people how loving and caring and beautiful a queer family could be. So and he's a Arab Muslim gay actor. And the ironic part about it is that his name is Suleiman. His last name happens to be Suleiman also. So it's real out there. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to the rest of
that's
the
shape
class.
Down. No. That's it. It's like there's a very specific crosshair. I'm talking about a specific target: African American Muslims. It's like they're taking advantage of those Muslims that have already been quote unquote turned out. Right? They've been turned out, so they're bought in it. I remember I was at a presentation one night with a couple of the scholars. I won't mention these other scholars, but it was at one of the largest jamaats in the Bay Area, and so we were doing. It was late night, maybe it was a Ramadan thing, whatever. So we were on a panel. We were on a panel to the group, and you know, so there's round figures at least 1,000. Out there in the audience, right? So I'm up there on the panel, et cetera. And then it came around. Something came around, and I said Ellen DeGenerate. It's like Ellen DeGenerate, you know. Now, if I was at home and said Ellen DeGenerate, you know, I would have got a nice little laugh out of it, man. That thing dropped like a rock in the mud. They do not want to hear you say those kinds of things about that type, right? And so it's like, unfortunately, too many of our immigrant Muslim brothers and sisters have really given much more of a pass to the whole gay thing. Right, and then Bilalians who incline to being sensitive to what they are sensitive to will also wind up giving more of a pass. And then when you put the media, when you put that kind of thing in the media, give it that kind of platform and frame it in that kind of way in order to make it have that kind of value, then people who don't have their own values firmly rooted, firmly based, and people who are impelled and moved much more so by the herd, then it's like a tidal wave is going to be taking more and more into that, and it's a very real impactful thing, and it's a generational matter. We're going to say a little more along that line in a moment. Thanks, Ismail.
And one quick thing, it really is, especially on social media, the generation after me, they most definitely push that love is love and the rainbow. And they're Muslim. I'm like, I just don't get it. But you're right. They're pushing that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Because if you take the Muslim out of the battle, if you take the Muslim out of the battle against these artificial shaitanic values, well then it's a victory. It's a victory because who else is going to fight? Christian, in the most formal sense, Christian, you have those who are identified as Christians who are battling, of course, and Jews who are battling, of course, in their way. But in terms of having the force of the religion itself, quote unquote, as the real shield and weapon, it is al-Islam. But if you can get Muslims who are supposed to be holding the shield and the weapon to put the shield and the weapon down, well, then you pretty much got that one in them. And so, again, you know, it doesn't have to be a victory over, you know, and it won't be. We already know that. لِيَذْهِرُوا عَلَى دِينَ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرْهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Allah has already established that al-Islam is going to be prevailing way of life no matter what's going on with the mushrikun. But that doesn't mean that every region cannot suffer a total collapse, right? California can suffer a total collapse, you know, Texas, wherever. You know, the point is al-Islam can be doing what it's doing, but in general localities where the strength of upholding, again, the shield and the weapon for the promotion of the Islamic values and the protection of Islamic values, those battlefronts can be lost in different cities and states and countries. So, you know, I was glad he mentioned that on you. We got to do all that we can.
Most of that reminds me, you know, you see those movies and they have all these lights across the country, and you just see lights going out one by one. And that's what comes to mind when you say that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is a battle. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. All right. Let's see. All right, no other comments. Let me go ahead and let me share this with you. This is, I mentioned about Billie Eilish, so I'm going to go ahead and spend the balance of the time to just give a principle, here. And so this is that Billie Eilish person. Now, what struck me, you know, I since I mentioned it in the way that I mentioned it during the Juma, I said, well, let's go ahead and look up. Hold on. Let me get Brother Mark in here before I go take off. Hold on, Mark, I'm coming to you. Let's see. All right, Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To you, Imam Fahim Shuab, and to your very astute listeners, Mark Shaheed from the STL. I don't have much to say. I just wanted to give you the greetings. And the last few weeks, we've had a rash of janazas here in the Gateway City. And this past week, I've been a little down with a cold. No COVID, but just a cold and all.
Mm-hmm.
But got a chance to hear just the tail end of your khutbah. And I do know and realize how important it is when it comes to parenting and marrying, as you say, well. And I was listening to our brother there from out of Texas. There's a very well-known sister who just most recently was like advocating for the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And all. And they put it up under the disguise of love, that the freedom to be able to love whomever it is that you want. And, you know, I think it's so very important that we have and realize that we have a base, a source, not a resource, but a source. And that being the Quran in terms of being the book of instructions for the construction of what true human life is and how we are to relate to the Creator, relate to people, relate to the creation itself. And we have an example in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very important because The shaitan's influence can be very, very subtle, and it can creep into the thinking and the hearts of people, and that even means Muslims are not exempt from that. So it's very important to understand what Allah says. It's both in Revelation, before the Quran, it's in the Quran in terms of it being looked on as abomination. But the fact of the matter is that even those persons that are not participants, they have a heart for that. And so we have to be very, very cautious. I just want to say that little 2 cent worth in regards to that, but I'm hearing it more and more and more. And
yeah,
this is one of the reasons that I do what I do in terms of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Thank you so much, Brother Imam. Keep up the great work. May Allah and continuously increase all of us in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of His word, will, and way. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Shukran. All right. Brother Melvin, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mel?
I got the mute button. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Salam alaikum, man. And I just wanted to add a comment. Yeah, the best explanation I ever heard came from yourself when you mentioned that homosexuality is immature sexuality. I don't think that language is put out enough as people come into contact with other folks. You know, we don't have to go off and blow out of proportion, but just as we address these issues, what you said I thought was huge in explaining the stages of maturity and how it's just not being addressed. People haven't even heard that language. I never heard it until you said immature sexuality. You go through the autoerotic stage and the various stages that you mentioned. And so I think that that's one of the strongest tools we have in addressing it to people, because people just never heard that. And it is really impacting all across the board. And I remember you also mentioning years ago about the God gave Noah the rainbow sign, but it won't be the water, but the fire next time. And you said, and what about the gays and violence coming together? Which after you mentioned that, I started seeing that in the movies where they were showing gay hitman and violent, you know, unusual.
Right. Yeah, James Gandolfo was the character. He was a gay hitman in that one. And
yes,
I think it was one of these most recent hip hopish kind of. Was that The Wire? Wasn't some gay dude on The Wire?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and
I never watched it,
but I just caught that on the side.
Yes. And same here. I didn't watch it, but because of hearing about it as it related to when he died, and that he was part of the movie was about drug programs that were blooming, and he was working for the drug program, and so his character was brought to my attention. Then that's when I looked at The Wire to see what he was doing in there, and I was like, wow, yeah. So that was another, yeah, definitely it's in there. So, and that's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary too.
And in all these Power Book 1, 2, 3, whatever it is, and Empire,
yes,
so many of
yes,
the others. That, you know, that's like those restaurants, et cetera. They put bacon in everything, right? You know, that's just to give it flavor, right? This dish has nothing to do with pork, but no, we got to give flavor to it.
Yes.
Auzubillah.
Yes.
Even
if it's artificial flavor, just something to put it in your mind. Bacon taste. But thanks again, Brother Bam. I just wanted to make that comment and bring to mind and remind you that you've been doing a lot of work on this for a while. And once again, years ago, you said it. And I appreciate it. Okay. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. I'll also give me the opportunity to mention the title of the book where you could detail that scaling, that autoerotic, heterosexual commitment and parenting schema. You go through that That's the initial. M. Esther Harding. M. I'll go ahead and put it in. M. Period. Esther. T-H-E-R. Harding. And the name of it is P-S-Y-C-H. Psychic energy. Don't think it's don't. Psychic energy really, when you know, when you understand it, that psychic energy is libido. That psychic energy is fit. But you get that book and it explains those details that I just spoke about. So yeah, if you wanna own that particular knowledge, do that. Alhamdulillah. During our stint, up to as long as we had high school at in Oakland, the W.D. Muhammad High in Oakland, up until 2009, we would teach that course to our high school students. Actually, starting at the middle school age, so it's like eighth grade, from eighth grade on. We made sure that they got that psychology of sexuality, because really the time to try to teach it is not when everything's on fire, if you will, in terms of that at puberty and the like. I mean, you gotta start before that. The pre-adolescent stage is critical, and says teach them to pray when they're seven and discipline them when they don't pray at 12 and at 10 separate them in their beds. That is, once get to be 10 years old, child should not be sleeping with another child, male or female. Separate them in their beds. All right? That's at 10 years old, right? So these kinds of things are the things that we need to know so that in our parenting, socialization, acculturation processes, we can keep our generations on track. And listen, it is true. It takes a whole village to raise a child, right? And so, yes, that is why. Now, I know they have their problems, certainly. You know, the Amish, they have no doubt. They have their problems. But then again, it's always, you know, a balance between what the case may be. I won't go into it now, but if you haven't looked at it, Muslims, you have to think about it. You have to consider it. Even if there's not a movement per se amongst us that is zeroed in and focused on what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, in this respect, for as far as our young people and how do you keep them aligned with your values and how do you keep them, you know, moving forward and how do you respect the force that is in their nature that you can't deny it, you can't suppress it. You the big mistake is to try to suppress it. It's crazy. You know, it's like, no, you're not going to be able to suppress it. If you keep suppressing it, you're oppressing it, and all you're doing is running them away from you, making them worse and commanding, actually leading them to long more for the thing that you think you're protecting them against. Allahu a'lam. So I'm saying those of you who are, well, let's think about that. What kinds of things should we think about? I'll tell you one, The Devil's Playground. If you haven't seen The Devil's Playground, you need to look it up. The Devil's Playground, you can find it on video, I'm pretty sure. It is a video, in fact. And what you actually see in there is the decision that was made by the Amish to deal with the likes of what we're talking about. And let me say before you even get there that I'm not saying that that's what we should do, but I'm saying, mashallah, in terms of the impact of that particular decision, there is something that can be garnered from that as perspective on what we're looking at. It takes
a very, very total, a very, very broad, a very comprehensive analysis. I know we have good pieces to the left, good pieces to the right, good subject matter on a book about this and a book about that, but all those pieces have to be brought together to see, okay, what therefore should we do as a prescription, right? Diagnosis, prognosis, prescription. Has there really been a diagnosis among, I'll speak of the Associates of Imam Mawlana Muhammad, Bilalia, African-American Muslims, et cetera. Has there really been a comprehensive diagnosis of that demographic? Let's just call it the 18, I'm just going to call it, I'm just throwing out a number right now. 18 to 34, whatever, 18 to 25. I don't know what the bracketing is. There's social scientists out there. You know what the bracketing is. Where's our diagnosis? Where is our diagnosis of that group, right? Okay. And until you get a diagnosis, you can't give a prognosis, right? So it's like one prognosis is if you don't do anything different now, then you can expect the same thing, if not worse, in the future. Whatever it is that you're looking at that you may not appreciate value or that you would rather not be. But it is, okay? Diagnosis, prognosis. And so, but if we can get the diagnosis, prognosis, then we can have our own prescription. So that documentary that I started my comment with from the Amish, they did their own diagnosis, prognosis, and prescription hundreds of years ago. They've been here like 300-400 years. And they call themselves the Amish and everybody else called the English. They had their own shura and they made a decision, like, okay, this is how we're going to deal with it. And that's the way they've been dealing with it from that time. 90% of their young people continue to be Amish. And Muslims have to ask themselves, in terms of those values, do we have a 90% retention rate of our young people for al-Islam? Ask yourself. All right. So let's just talk about something in principle here, still connected with this this Billie Eilish. First thing, let's keep it simple and make it plain that it is the commercial industry, okay? It is the commercial industry that is running it all. Now, this Billie Eilish is that picture right there on the Rolling Stone magazine. Wednesday, folks, y'all know, the Rolling Stone, where it plays in it. And also going back to that love piece, right? The man pointed out that love was a universal principle that the Jacobite used to dominate the society. Is that they take that word love and it's abused and distorted and applied. You know, love is this, love is that, love is this. So it doesn't have any fixed definition. It's like love is whatever you want it. Whatever you want it to be. That's the way it is. So it becomes a very flexible tool to use, and it's tied to the emotionality, sentimentality of the society cultivated under its influences. And so those who want to manipulate, all they need to do is manipulate through and with that particular principle. Over the heads of the people who subscribe to it, like, oh, it's such a beautiful thing, and you don't know that the one that is giving you that to guide you to behave in ways contrary to nature, well, that's what it's for. It's for the purpose of them achieving their ends through you while you think that you're doing something that is particularly special because you're so loving and deep and kind and real and all the rest of that. Excuse me. All I got a little scratchiness in my throat as well. So, let me keep going. Okay, so in this picture, in this picture, I'm sorry, Block Talk, if you're not with us, it's the Rolling Stone magazine cover from May 2019, right? She was 17, I believe, at this time, right? Now, look at under the photo, you have this caption: Billie Eilish photographed in Los Angeles, May 21st, 2019, by Petra Collins. Petra also happens to mean rock, too. Okay, Petra Collins. Now, it said it's produced by Holly Gore at Roscoe Production. Set design by Nicholas Desjardins at Streeters. Hair by Joseph Chase at Exclusive Artists. Makeup by Robert Rumsey. Styling by Samantha Burkhart at the the Wall Group. Shirt and shorts by Problem Boy. Undershirt by Freak City. By Bitch Fist. Bracelets by Chrome Hearts. Rings by Chrome Hearts and Souvenir Jewelry. Shoes by Vandy the Pink. Now, is this teenager who's a teen idol, freshly minted, and you should see that she's just like one of those Formula One auto racing cars, right? What do you see when you see those Formula One auto racing cars, those Indy 500 racing cars? What do you see? You got slapped labels and tags and icons and images over every part of it. You got the bumpers, you know, the hood, the side doors, et cetera. Why? It's just a vehicle for the promotion of the quote-unquote sponsor. That's what literally is happened to her, and it's just so obvious here, but it happens to all the rest of them. It happens to all the rest of them. You are just a mannequin that we hang our stuff on, right? Here, put on these shoes. Here, put on this T-shirt. Here, put on this bracelet. Here, wear your hair this way, et cetera. What happens to the person in the midst of all this? What happens to the person in the midst of all that? So, and you can see, and it shouldn't be difficult to understand or perceive, that all these different companies named just in the pointers in this photograph, they're not interested in that person as a person. They're interested in that person as a means to the promotion of their product and of their brand. So when they become suicidal and crazy, et cetera, you know, say what you want, like, don't like, et cetera, Britney Spears and whatever she went through, gone through, going through, what have you. But she's also been through that same mill. And craziness comes as a byproduct of that, because you definitely get lost in that process as to who are you really and what are you really and how much of you belongs to you anymore and how much of you is really, quote-unquote, you, you know? And you look at those images and then you look at yourself and then you see the disconnect between what's being projected as you and all this love and ardor and all this adoration, et cetera, that's being poured forth. And then you feel your own emptiness and weakness and shortcoming and powerlessness, et cetera, but you're projected as being so powerful, so great, and so wonderful, you know. That's a problem. Why? Because we just bring you up to consume you by making you an object of consumption to a particular audience. And of course, you have your each one of these. That's Madonna, that's Britney Spears, and that's Miley Cyrus, right? And so each one of them, you know, and it's just a model example. Each one of them basically represents a generation that the same process was undertaken for each of the generations. So you still have people who started out with Madonna, pardon me, with Madonna said, Papa don't preach, right? Papa don't preach, like a virgin, and then something else about a prayer or something like that. Any case, the point is that she was fashioned and crafted and aimed at a particular demographic of young girls, and that started her Pied Piper work with those in of her generation, that she was set before them to be their icon, to be their idol, to be their model, to be their example, and they've been with her from that time to this. Right? And of course, you know, we got that eye patch thing going on. We know about that. She's, at this point, she was supposed to be Madam X or something like that. Excuse me. Yeah. So all of those aspects are there. Yeah, ma'am. Yeah, Papa don't preach. All of that, that whole idea, again, against the traditional values, right? Against the religious values, right? While exploiting it, we're not even talking about the videos that were involved. I think Leon was supposed to be the Jesus in one of her, Madonna I'm talking about. But the point is that this game is a game that's been played and continues to be played. This is just illustrative of it. But it happens all the time. If you take the black ones, quote unquote, you know, there's been generations for the hood, same track, and unfortunately, it seems to me there's a lot more. How can you say? Nastiness. I lost a better term. I could be wrong. You let me know. I don't think so. So these are just examples, and she's just the latest in a long line of those that have been used to entrance and entrain each new generation that fits that demographic profile. We want to get the teenagers of every era, and so we have to create idols that are powerful enough to attract the largest the elements of a given demographic, so that A, it'll have a commercial value and a long-term commercial value. The game, and let's just talk about this idol-making process. So in the idol-making process, right, so you have to have it in mind that you have talent hunters. That they, you know, they're like big game hunters, right? They're talent hunters. And really, you know, YouTube and Facebook and all that has really made it so much easier for these talent hunters. They don't have to go around from city to city, or they don't have to sift through, you know, a bunch of, you know, CDs, LPs, cassette tapes, and what have you. You got YouTube, you got Facebook, you got Instagram, you got TikTok, you got all of that, and if they garner so many followers and they garner so much attention, well, then that automatically is going to draw the talent hunters, the ones that got the big bags and who know how to make idols. It's going to draw them to that. Oh, you got a million followers, we need to see them, you know. And then you also have those people who have that understanding. This is how the mill works, and it says, you have those who have, so everybody's trying to get people to build up their following, to build up their views, to build up their likes, to build that up so that those talent hunters can come their way with a deal, if you will. Now, these talent hunters, they are able to manage and manipulate the natural talents of individuals. Part of what I want to say, I don't want to get lost as I go forward. It's like, I'm not saying that these, like Billie Eilish, I'm not saying she's not talented. It's likely that she is quite talented, right? Because that may have been what, given that she follows this track, that what attracted so many people to her and in turn brought the talent hunters to her as well is because she did have some natural talent and no doubt some outstanding natural talent, right? I use an example here in my notes here about Rick James, Willie Nelson, Katy Perry. If you look, these are just examples. If you look at the history of so many of these people who have in some cases these outsized success stories and the like. They were actually, through the talent hunters, they were, in some ways, these people were, in many cases, they were either classically trained, that they were actually on another track. They had the skill, they had the talent in their particular area, whether it be an instrument or whether it be vocals or even with acting and anything else like that. But when the talent hunters look at them and they look at what could be done with them in the commercial world and commercially speaking, and they think about it, those of you who've listened to me, we talk about the mosaic, right? Sometimes these talent hunters, especially at the level of the Jacobites, fleshing out the picture that they are seeking to keep the history, curating the history by putting certain people and elements in place so as to be something of breadcrumbs for the people who are really in the game historically and in it again as a part of the legacy and moving into the future, then they look at these individuals as to how they fit the picture that they're trying to draw and, socially speaking, and to establish in the history so that when those who are looking at the history look back and see the relationship between this talent and this time, then they can understand that, look, this is what you do under these kinds of circumstances, and this type of personality serves this kind of role, right? They actually put their prescription in the history of industries, and all of them, you know, business, politics, education, and whatever I'm missing. All right, so and that's the case. You look at the history, the evolution of Rick James, Willie Nelson, Katy Perry, and you can find the same case with the others. What they do is they take that talent, they go to work to get that talent to fit a particular image, profile, brand, narrative, okay? And what they do, they put that talent into a certain image that will make them an idol. Now, they're being made an idol for a particular slice of the population, right? They're becoming an idol. Is possible because as an idol, they are a projection, meaning, let's finish it. They are a projection of the urges and the impulses of their fans. All right. This idea being captured by someone's projection. That is, okay, I always use Mike Tyson and Robin Givens as an example, right? So, I mean, Mike Tyson, he had never met Robin Givens, but he saw her on the television program, and it was like love at first sight, right? And then, of course, the rest is history. She was, she caught his projection. Listen to what I'm saying. He had an ideal image in his mind of what an ideal woman is, right? And with, and this is when the love at first sight scenario, that's literally how it works. A person has built up in their head, built up in their mind, their own ideal. And understand, it's going back to the parenting thing, right? The role of the father and the mother, i.e. the husband and the wife, the parents of their children, one of their roles is to provide the models from which the children can construct what is proper and healthy relationships and behaviors are for the opposite gender, right? So it's like, well, it's what the Quran is telling us. The Quran says, What it's saying is, it's like when the husband and wife, when they come together, now they become the model for the little boy and the little girl. The little boy and the little girl looks up at the mother and father, and the mother and father, the way they interact, the little boy looks at him, and he identifies, of course, with the male. That's the natural identification with the male. And then he looks at how that male interacts with the female. And so seeing how he interacts, he says, okay, well, that's my model. That's my example. All right? And then likewise, he gets the idea of what a quote-unquote good woman is. I'm speaking ideals, but that's the design. Okay, so he looks up at the mother, and then the mother becomes the model of what a good woman is. Right, so the father becomes a model of what a good man is, and the woman becomes a model of what a good woman is, and so the child isomorphically takes into himself and constructs inside of himself a reproduction of what is being projected by the interaction between mom and dad, and so therefore I build up my ideal of what a relationship is inside myself by what I'm absorbing and abstracting from what I see mom and dad doing. Okay, and same way for the little girl. This is the idea. This is how it's supposed to work, and this is why marriage is supposed to serve that. It's a very responsible state for everybody, but for Muslims especially. All right, so the presumption is that and the hope is that the little boy isomorphically got a healthy relationship inside of himself. The language for it is called syzygy. I know I'm saying a little bit, but we'll get to it another time. So he acquires syzygy, the balance between the contrasexual elements. He gets the balance between the male and the female because we all have inside of us. Sometimes it's called the animus and anima, or in some, you know, in the field, in psychology, where the animus and the anima. In any case, syzygy represents the balance, the proper integration, the proper reconciliation of the feminine and the masculine. These are all quality attributes. This is not biology. This is spirituality, psychology, abstract qualities. We all have the masculine and the feminine from that perspective. But then also for the female, the same. When she gets that balance, he's got that balance. All right. Now, but what happens when all that's not there? What happens when all that's not there? See, that's the problem that we're looking at. That's the problem that we're facing. And we can talk about, you know, you can be there with the model, the example of what you set forth. See, this, and the illness of our environment, the illness of our culture, is that, man, it's, you got movies, you got whatever. You got all that. You got social media and everything involved with that. You know, the music and everything involved with that. Music videos. When music videos came in, that's what normal, healthy marriages and families are competing with. Excuse me. That's what we're competing with. So it's like, if we have any victories, if we have any victories, it is by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your children have any sense of health and well-being and stability, all you can do is thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because most everything is set against the normal. Everything is whatever is the norm. That's normal. No, the natural. The world's design is against the natural. Because the world that the shaitan, that commercial industry that wants to put these labels on every generation of child, what have you, it's like, we need you to break with tradition. Because if you're too conservative, I can't bring this new stuff, right? So I need you to get away. Let it go. Let it go. I need you to get away from all that. And let me show you the latest thing, the hippest thing, the current thing, what's trending now, et cetera. That's all this Jacobite commercial industry wants. And no care for what are the consequences of the collapse of these foundational structures for the psyche of the whole. It's not just some people whose psychology is being undermined by these changes, or all the teenagers. No, the whole structure is being undermined, and so the correct structuring of consciousness is undermined. Society that has no particular mold that says what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. They got this language now that, you know, your truth, my truth. So what that means is there is no capital T truth, you know? That's devilishness. That's destructive. We'll just finish this idea right here. So they're becoming an idol is possible because as an idol they are projection. So the talent hunters, they are able. They know about the urges, the impulses of the fans. They know the demographic. They do the diagnosis, right? What is the general mood? What is the general spirit? What is the general attitude? What is the general appetite of a given demographic, all right? They literally have companies that do these types of researches. And then they scour the talent landscape to see who is close to sitting to being the possible recipient of the projections of that demographic. Excuse me. All right. So I said, Mike Tyson had his idea. Robin Givens seemed to fit their profile. And so the attraction was automatic. So he got caught by his projection. That is, she got caught by his projection. He projected it on her, and so now he's a fan. He's attached, right? All right. And that's history, right? All right. Well, this is what happens with idols, right? The talent hunters, they already know what kinds of ideals and ideas that the profile audience or the profile fan base that they're trying to reach, demographic that they're trying to reach. Now they go about looking for a talent who can tap into that urge, impulse, desire, attitude, temperament, who can tap into that, right? I'll tell you again, Laurel Canyon. You got to look back at Laurel Canyon. You got to look, just got to look it up. And Jim Morrison and the Doors, you know, the CIA, their operation, that guy, he was not talented. He was not a talented musician at all. They crafted him to fit the pool of demographic that they were trying to bring under control because of the anti-war sentiment of the time. That is the 60s, right? The anti-war sentiments of the time. So this whole Laurel Canyon operation, was designed to, how are we going to capture and control this massive protest sensibility that's going on among these college students with the anti-draft, anti-war, et cetera. So we're going to have to bring in something that can capture that urges, those impulses, those sensitivities, and quote unquote, get them quote unquote off of our case, and we can continue to go on doing what we're doing. That's what actually happened. So that's an instance where their fans, the Doors, and he's a guy who supposedly committed suicide, I think, and then you got the Kurt Cobain, you got all the others like that too. Their fans became worshipers who project their own hopes and aspirations into the idol and heavily invest their financial, physical, mental, spiritual resources in the manner dictated by the idol. This just like, let's go back to this picture and we're done. So there's this profile group. So just take Billie Eilish as, well, she's the profile that we're trying to reach, whoever she is, 17-year-old, whatever the case may be. That's fine. And so what we do, slap all of our products on her and have her to become the model. So she's literally like a mannequin in a window. In a department store window. And here come all the fans projecting their urges, their impulses, their aspirations onto her. And how do you do that? You emulate her. You imitate her. You buy what she's quote-unquote selling because you identify with her. And that satisfies the commercial interest. We don't care about the economic impact, the psychological impact, the mental impact. We're just in this for business. We have no obligation to you in any of those particulars. All right, so basically we're going to have to end with that today. Let me see. I'll take a second with a couple of things here. Let's see as we close out. On the topic of homosexuality, I give advice of 7127, where it says, my mind's reading, we will kill their sons, save actively, shamefully alive their women. Women are not only the physical females, women are in society. At a recent class in prison, I asked the guys, what do you think of the movie character Madea? The common answer was, it doesn't bother me. And so I asked, what does Al-Islam say about it? Well, one of the things from a hadith perspective, it says that curse of the men who dress like women and curse of the women who dress like men. So much for that, Flip Wilson and everybody else. I mean, I'm talking about their characters. Whatever. I ain't mad at nobody. This is Naima. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Fahim. Shalom. May Allah bless. May Allah's blessing be upon all the Ummah, true believers. Impact that I had on my children was amazing. If the impact didn't have that influence on my own children, it was like being tested for my faith to see whether or not I would stay in Al-Islam. Well, alhamdulillah, I'm glad you won. Praise be to Allah. May Allah have mercy on all. All right. Brothers and sisters, everybody have a wonderful day. Allah's peace be on you. Inshallah, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, sorry, I don't have any numbers, but Al-Islam, study Al-Islam, look for that information. We have that, and I'll be making a portion of the presentation tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time, on Shura and Democracy. Inshallah, make dua for me so I can be prepared and make a useful contribution in the matter. Everybody have a great day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.